So. For billets of price, big or small,
at Brilliant Metals we have it all. Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipe, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing material. For billets of price, big or small, at Brilliant
Metals we have it all. Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday. This is Sankey Price and Dennis Johnson with you. And we go to our first call. Good morning. You are on the air. Hello. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes. Go right ahead with your question, sir.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I see. I didn't hear the beep. Top of the day to you.
A top of the day to you as well. How are you?
Well, I am
staying safe.
Surviving.
Yes. Okay.
It is one of my shopping days, but because it's also my Sabbath, I can't shop. Let's get to this boss plan. I find myself somewhat ambivalent about it. I am on the one hand in agreement, because I feel that as a member of the party, I should agree with it. But on the other, I do not like the fact that it appears to me that there is not so much of an optional opportunity given to workers, but it looks like there is some kind of forcement into the deal. For example, if this scheme is as good as we claim it is, why not allow public workers to join the scheme or opt out of it in a deliberate way? Why is it they have to wait to opt out if somebody takes up the shareholding that they should have? This is where the confusion appears to me. Now, on the other hand, we have this question of tourism. Now, to me, unless tourism incorporates a proven certified vaccine of each traveler, especially from countries with 5G towers, we will put a health risk on all our local people who make any physical contact with these stores. So from that point of view, the scheme could be helpful in bringing monies into the country without our over-reliance on tourism as it now is. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that I have any opposition to tourism. My opposition is only if we allow tourism without a certified vaccine for each tourist that comes to our country. And then, of course, we have the other problem of interest rates at the financial institutions, the banks being the worst of them all. Now, obviously the 5% that this boss scheme would give workers is so attractive compared to what one gets in the banking system right now, that it might even want people who are not necessarily in work to want to get involved in it, but on a voluntary basis, I must emphasize. I don't like to be forced into doing anything. That is my point.
All right, let's get a response on that.
From that point of view, it could work.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Greenwich? I mean, the word forced. Could you elaborate on that?
The only thing that I can see. Okay, let me respond to your question directly. There's no element of force. Now, what the caller referred to, he said a worker should have to wait for somebody, but he's bound to opt out. That's not correct. Absolutely not correct. Let me explain. At the beginning of the program, the beginning of July, and we are starting by July 10th, a worker will be asked, do you want all your money in cash? Do you want to hold the bond? If the workers say they want all my money in cash, he ain't gonna wait for nothing. Payday is the 26th, 25th, whatever payday is, he will have his money. And more importantly, he ain't waiting for anything. The central bank, an instruction goes to the central bank to cash this worker's bond. Central bank buys the bond, it goes on there, but they're not waiting. Central bank turns around and use all the persons who have signed up from the credit unions, private sector, German Barbados, and sells it. But this work, there's no waiting. There's no waiting. For the worker, this is what he sees. I got a form asking me, do I want all my money in cash? I say yes. On payday, I got my money. There's no force. There's nothing of that nature.
All right. Do you have a follow-up question, sir? Let's move to another one. Attorney Michelle Russell in today's Sunday Sun, she asked the question, workers would not be mandated to purchase the bonds, but the proposal nonetheless advises that the scheme would apply to all civil servants who earn more than $36,000 per year. This strongly suggests that civil servants will be automatically enrolled in the scheme so long as they meet the earnings threshold. If this is the case, then can it really be said that the scheme is optional if public servants have no choice in their inclusion? Dr. Greenwich?
Shankar.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me break it down for you again. Mm-hmm. And I think transparency is everything. Won't get thin to people that what the option that a civil servant wants to have? How he gets his paycheck? He wants from getting all a cash to getting one or some part thereof. That's the option. Now, what you remember? This facility is designed to achieve two objectives: one, create fiscal space; two, retain jobs. Right? Now, a government has two ways to pay the civil servant. Let's say the civil servant, this worker, has his
All right, I think Dr. Greenwich just dropped out. We'll take another call. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Shankar.
Yes, go right ahead. Dr. Greenwich has just involuntarily left us. So you can just, but I have Mr. Marshall, as well as Holly Haynes on right now.
Good morning, Shankar.
Yes, go right ahead. Good morning to you.
I am concerned about why this scheme is targeted at public servants. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
What is the real objective of this bond issue? To raise funds?
So that was explained earlier in the program.
What is it? To raise funds?
It's to create some fiscal space.
Okay. Now, what I would suggest, okay, the public servants don't have to be, they will only be involved on paper. Okay? Now, let's say you have a public servant who is getting $3,000. The government would say that this public servant is getting $1,600 in cash,
sure.
And $1,400 in bond.
Yes, just so, Dr. Greenwich, you're back on. This caller is questioning why. Well, just listen. So he's just developing his point. Go right ahead, sir.
Okay, the public servant will be getting $1,600 in cash and $1,400 in bond. This is a public servant receiving $3,000.
So, okay, let me go together. $3,000.
Mm-hmm. And he's getting, the government would put $1,600 in cash for him in the bank.
That's a big amount, but partner, but they work with that.
All right, I'm just putting a figure, okay?
Yeah, $1,600 in bond.
You have to take $1,400 in bond.
Okay.
In the interim, the central mm-hmm. bank will float a bond issue that anybody can subscribe to make to get the $1,400 to pay this public servant for the 18 months.
All right. You want me to work with you through this example? There you go. Watch it.
Uh-huh.
In this example, the worker wants his cash. Let's say he wants all the 3,000,
he wants all
right?
his cash.
Good, good. One, there you go, one step at a time. So he says at the beginning program, give me all my cash. The $1,400 got in bonds for me. I don't want bonds. I want cash, right?
Right. Good. He doesn't want now, bonds, central, okay?
Central
but I tell you, the central bank will be floating
right.
a bond
no,
issue.
No, 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 no. So let me correct you there, buddy. Let me correct you. Central bank is not floating any bonds. The government will send an instruction to central bank saying, let's say this worker is John Brown. John Brown has 1,400, so government issue bonds. John Brown has $1,400 in bonds. Convert that to cash and pay John Brown. And that's before John Brown pay a check. Central bank does not have to sell the bonds.
Okay, if the central bank...
Let me finish and then we can get together.
Okay,
let me get together one time. Together, we're moving together. Then you can continue from that point. So just one correct point, central bank is not issuing any bonds. Central bank takes the $1,400 and send cash to John Brown account in Broad Street. Over to you. You move on.
Well, I'm saying if the central bank has floated a $1,400 bond issue,
but
they will have that cash.
Central bank is not floating any $1,400. No, no, no. Central bank is not issuing any bonds. We got to make sure because we want to inform people, want people to understand. So let's make sure we're on the same page. Central bank is not issuing any bond.
What I'm suggesting is that the central bank will float a bond issue.
Mm-hmm.
And once the bond issue is subscribed, they will have the cash. So when the government says that John Brown is not taking the $1,400 bond, they will have the $1,400 there to pay John Brown.
All right,
but somebody else would have already
have
taken up the bond.
Well, I mean, central bank can't issue bonds. It is not. It's part of central. It's part of government. Can't issue bonds. Number one. And
but they could get some. I don't know if the NIS then wants to issue bonds.
But do you remember? You hear the point I made about between fiscal space and financing. You remember I made a point about fiscal space and financing, right? If the government was for a float of bond to raise money, that is not going to solve the government's problem of space. In order for government to solve its problem of fiscal space, it needs to repurpose its spending. Now, in the example you are making, when the worker says he wants his $1,600, $1,400 in a bond, so that when he goes to the bank, he has $3,000 in the bank. That's what the worker wants. Now, government can do this one or two ways. It can issue the worker for his $3,000 in cash one time. He gets his money, but government records $3,000 on wages. There's no savings. We back to square one. Or government can issue him his $1,600 in cash in the bank, the $1,400 in bond. Central bank buy the bond immediately and send the $1,400 to the worker's account. He gets his $3,000 as before, no delay, nothing, and government gets $1,600, the $1,400, the bond space that it did not issue in cash by issuing bond. Government get that space to inject in the capital programs to create jobs and growth. Both purposes are met. So when we're analyzing this, we got to keep in mind the objectives. There are many things you can do, many things, but what are we trying to achieve? If we weren't trying to create fiscal space, there'll be other ways to give the workers in general Barbados a way to save money. Perhaps, as the government has been talking about, a possible pandemic or a dirty bond. So like that, people will get real sales money, as we've been done in the past. But remember what the objective here is. So in your example...
Why are the public workers being targeted for this bond issue?
I remember that you third target because it sounds negative, but let me tell you why it's public workers. Because government pay public workers. Because when the government pay public workers are in a government fiscal account or government site. So let me tell you about government fiscal accounts. I'm not trying to teach or anything, but let me explain. On the expenditure side, you have goods and services, the things like what government will buy, equipment for schools and buildings, computers, paper, all that. That's one category. Next category is interest payments on debt. That's debt before government got to meet its interest payments. We reduce that from 65 cents on a dollar on per tax dollar to 22 cents. That's being fixed. The other category on there is transfers to SOEs. and we've reduced that, so it's becoming much more that it transfers to the hospital and the transport board. That is part of the restructuring and improvement program, and that is being we're working on that. Only other cap on current expenditure is wages and capital on the other side. So now when you look at wages, if we weren't trying to shift money from savings into capital, there'd be no need to do any of this. So any solution to come up to help to get workers to sales that doesn't solve both the objective of fiscal space will not work now. It will work as a different plan, which fine. What you were saying about floating bonds and raising money to pay workers and the general public, that's fine. That will achieve the objective of people getting some in saving, but it will not do what we want to do at the moment.
Mm-hmm. All right, so thank you.
What I'm saying, okay, is that if somebody else floats the bond, and the $1,400 would just be a paper entry, so the government will be having that $1,400 for the 18 months.
The partner.
So at the end of 18 months, the government should have $25,200.
But partner, you're not listening to me, no? Government don't need the money; it needs space. And the concept sometimes is difficult if you're non-economist or not. I'm not saying you are, but listen to what I'm saying. Government doesn't need the $1,400 as cash. It needs it as fixed savings in the fiscal account. Remember the example of the room. Outside the room, we got all the money. Let's say you got all the money you worry about. Within the room, you could only shift around things unless you widen the space. I mean, widen the space as much by moving from 6% primary to 1 and probably to 0 if necessary. What we need to do, and your idea is a good idea. I must say that it's a good idea. For if we are going to try to raise funds, I like what you're saying, but it's not what we need for the purpose at hand right now.
All right, sir. Some very good questions. Hardy Haynes, I want to bring you in here. Let's talk about the interest rates, because I know that a number of people have concerns about it. So let's hear from you.
As happened before, the government and credit unions, we have already purchased savings bonds. And as you are aware, during the last restructuring, the savings bonds were not restructured. And these bonds have the same built-in mechanism. The reality of it, in this current environment, 5% is indeed attractive for institutions as well as for persons. The credit union is limited to what it can invest in. Section 34A of the Credit Union Act, the Cooperative Societies Act, sets out the conditions in which credit unions can do investment. And one of the investments is either invest in a bank or financial institutions or a society register under the Act, or you invest in securities issued by the government of Barbados, or securities, the payment of interest, which is guaranteed by the government. So this allows credit unions and any other institution, any other entity, to purchase bonds at this rate, given the market. Currently, within the market rate, I think we are paying to keep money. And this gives an opportunity for credit unions to earn some interest, because when we earn interest, that interest then is shared among all of the membership, whether it's in dividends or whether it is paid on interest on deposit. So that is a positive side to the issuance of the bond. But I want to say that I think the larger question we have as a country, I think we have to educate our members or population about the value of bonds and financial instruments. So I think coming out of this whole exercise, we should have a national effort to educate each and every Barbadian about the financial instruments, savings deposits, whether it's government paper, so they get on appreciation. I think if we are going to have true economic enfranchisement, it means that the masses thereof have to benefit in programs. And this gives the opportunity the question of chairs. Outside of the credit union movement, ordinary people don't have any shareholdings. And this gives an opportunity that we can build on this platform to create an environment where ordinary people can see investment in bonds and likewise instruments. I just want to make one final point in relation to the caller. The government wants to create what you call a fiscal space, as Dr. Greenidge said, because you can then use that instead of paying all the government workers in cash. That space created by the bond will allow them to do the capital projects that employ more people. So there are some positive things coming out of that. So that is my take, but I think as we go forward as a country, I think we have to spend so much time on financial literacy. The World Bank has indicated that this is one of the areas of concern, financial literacy, and I think we as a people, we got an obligation to ensure that we provide that framework for our people.
All right, thank you very much, Holly Haynes. And here on the WhatsApp, question being asked, based on the design of BOS, is this considered a way to draw liquidity out of the banks and credit unions? I'd like to get Dr. Greenidge and Mr. Haynes to again respond to this.
No, not at all. In fact, it would do the reverse. Mr. Haynes just talked about it would create what we call economic and finance, a secondary market. Because before this, the worker would take his money, and as Mr. Haynes indicated, very little opportunity to do any investment except put it in the credit union or the bank. In this way now, one, it really bond, and remember that he'd be putting one bond in 1 month, and then another bond in month two, and another bond in month three. There are 18 bonds. And then if you might put 18 by the number of public workers, you can see how many bonds we've floating around. So people have options to invest, to trade between each other, and it regenerates that secondary market. In fact, so it adds, and it put up more, in my view, it gives purpose to the liquidity. It allows the liquidity now to move around between the individuals. It allows people to, for something right, empowered to have savings in different instruments. You get the money when you need it, or you put it down and earn. So no, it doesn't take away from the, it doesn't draw liquidity. There are ways to draw liquidity out of the system, and usually that is done through the central bank operations, not necessarily through government. So there are ways to do that, but this is not it.
Mr. Haynes, you want to respond as well?
Well, I would want to put it this way, that there are a lot of our members who have funds lying down in banking institutions, and these funds are earning no interest. This offers an opportunity not to earn interest on your savings. The philosophy of the credit union movement is about people helping people, and it's about people pooling their resources and their savings so that the group can benefit. And that is the ethos that we are talking about. That's the credit union ethos we are talking about. So I see this here as building a momentum for savings. As you remember, in 1976, when the administration of the day introduced the tax allowances, that became the impetus of the growth and development of the credit union sector. Because of that measure, we saw significant savings built up in the credit union sector because people wanted to benefit from it, and they put the money in those saving instruments. So I think, similarly, an instrument like this will build capacity rather than reduce.
Mm-hmm. Another one on before we go out to the phone lines. Another one on from the WhatsApp. How does the bond affect an employee's income tax, specifically his taxable income? Does the bond come out at gross or net?
There's no impact on tax. Everything is the same because it comes out at net. It's just the actual take-home pay that is being split between cash and the bond. Absolutely no effect on your tax purposes, allowances, anything like that.
Okay, we go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. This is one for Holly. I hope you could just explain this a little clearer to probably a member who might be thinking in this frame of mind. Based on the scenario that you gave in respect of paying into the bond to service your loan, do you see this as a way where the particular individual in the short or long term will be paying interest twice on this particular loan, bearing in mind that at the end of the 5 years, the interest that he would have earned from the bond goes directly into the pool, and he probably would get a small percentage of it. But are you going to be buying the bond as it is up front, or would he just be transferring the bond to your loan? Could you just explain that a little to me?
Thank you, Ola, for the question. There are two modalities. One, that the member already has an existing loan with the credit union. He's paying his loan. Suppose he's paying his loan is $200 a month.
Go right ahead.
And he has a bond value. His loan, and then he has some to pay on savings. So you have to, it's not a double interest, but he will benefit at the end of the
Sir, go right ahead. Ask your question. We're having a little technical difficulty here, so just go right ahead with your question. All right. I think he's dropped out too. All right, Dr. Greenidge, are you still there with us? All right. Let's just take a break. Just remind you that this program is being brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Inc.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful permaclad U-panel and R-panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices, delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christchurch 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to Brass Stacks. And what I'm going to do is take a couple of calls, take your questions, and as soon as we can get Dr. Greenidge and Mr. Haynes, as well as Mr. Marshall back on the line, we can. As Dennis explained, we are having a technical hitch here. None of our making, but we have to do what we got to do. Okay?
Let me just again apologize to those following Brass Stacks Sunday. We are having some issues. I'm told by David Johnson, who's been working feverishly, that we may be back online for VOB only streaming, but that now has thrown our telephone lines into a bit of a blink. So he's trying to reestablish contact with the panel. And in the meantime, you can continue to just take the calls. And once we have them up, we'll link you back to them. Thanks.
Okay, great. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm well. Considering.
Yes, please.
Yes. Go ahead and ask your question, because what we're going to do is we're trying to get everyone back, as Dennis explained just now. Okay?
Yes, no problem. Uh-huh. I was just saying, can a pensioner get involved? Or is it only for workers?
Okay. I will certainly ask that question, because the not so funny thing is that that was the next question I was going to ask from the WhatsApp.
Oh.
Or are you the person who wrote that on the WhatsApp? Your phone ends with a 4-4 at the end?
No.
Okay. I was just about to ask that question. All right. So the question we asked, whether government pensioners could be part and parcel of this BOSS program. That's right. Essentially it.
And another thing, I think that Dr. Greenidge, he explained himself very well. to me, from the third time I'm hearing him, and from the first time I heard him, I understood everything he's trying to explain. It ain't nothing to force nobody. If you want it, you want it. If you don't, you don't. So to me, he has done a very good job in teaching me, and I understood what he was saying. Just the whole Dr. Maskell on the program some Sundays back explained and went through carefully. Dr. Greenidge is also doing a very good job at explaining. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. I'm sure he's listening. Oh, she's gone already. Okay. We got another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, Sanka.
Hi. How are you?
How are you doing?
I am well.
Is Dr. Green still there?
He is going to be back. Yes, I think he's going to be back shortly. We're trying to get him and Hallie Haynes as well as Mr. Marshall back on the line.
All right. In that case, just let me just shoot out what I wanted to. If he's listening, I hope he can respond to it when he comes back in. And it is this. My interest is not so much the operational realities of bonds. The bonds are 5%. If you want to take them, great. Good deal. Take them. No issue for me. That's not my problem. My issue is that at the heart of this bond issuance is the concept of fiscal space. It is even stated so in the paper that came out on the bond. This is a part of why this is being done. It is to create fiscal space. Now, I am assuming that Dr. Greenidge is using the definition of fiscal space from the IMF. And so I'm just assuming that he's doing that. If not, well, okay, that'll be fine. Now, we know that a household is not restricted by the same budget constraints as a currency issuing government. Okay? Now, given the story with the IMF, and Dr. Greenidge did say that there's a difference between finding the fiscal space and the financing considerations, and I agree with him. But according to the IMF, again, access to affordable finance, stable financing, is a prerequisite for any country to have any fiscal space. So although they're different, they're still tied. One recently depends on the other. No. What I want to find out is this. Is Dr. Greenidge suggesting to me that government will run out of fiscal space if it spends too much? And if so, if that is what the suggestion is, then here is my question. How does a sovereign currency issuing government, which has the sole authority to create the currency for that country through its central bank, run out of that which it has the sole authority to create? That is the crux of my question as it relates to the purpose for doing these bonds, not the bonds themselves. That's it, thank you.
A mouthful. All
right. Yeah, it is.
And I think that we have Dr. Greenidge now back on the line. Yes, you can direct your question directly to Dr. Greenidge. Just the question, not the prelude.
But the prelude was important relative to your question.
Well, yeah, but you just direct the question.
Dr. Greenidge might have heard it all anyway.
No, he would pick it up. He's quick.
Yeah.
So just go right ahead. You're basically asking Dr. Greenidge, you're suggesting that government, is Dr. Greenidge suggesting that government
will run out of fiscal space?
We'll run out of fiscal space. Go ahead.
If it basically overspent, Dr. Greenidge, first, before I ask the question, did you hear my run-up?
Dr. Greenidge.
No, I can imagine where you're coming from, so you can ask me a question. If I need to run out, we can work on that. Just
no, you don't need it. You don't need it, but it was important to the relevance of my question.
No problem.
Let me just summarize that then. I was saying in a nutshell that households are not restrained budget-wise like sovereign currency issuing governments. I know you would agree with that. You can't disagree with that. All right? And given that, that is the case. And I assume you were using the IMF definition of fiscal space. And I agreed with you that fiscal space and financing were two different things. But they were still tied because the IMF still, if using the definition, still clearly stating that it is a prerequisite for affordable finance and is a prerequisite, right, to a country having any fiscal space whatsoever. Given those two things, I was saying, are you suggesting to me that a sovereign currency issuing government, which has the sole authority to create the currency through its central bank for that country, can run out of that which it has the sole authority to create?
All right. First of all, you know, if I had to say there was one singular problem between 2008 and 2017, our debt rose from about 75% to 176%. Our reserves fell from $2 billion to $420 billion, and we had an absence of growth because of the debt overhang, while the fiscal deficit widened up to 7% on average. If we had to point our finger at one singular problem that created all that, it was printing money.
That's not answer the question, though.
No. Let me finish why I'm trying to say that. I'm trying to say that the most critical thing for get growth and investment, et cetera, is a sound, stable macro environment, including a strong, stable fiscal environment.
Of course.
Prudence is key. So if you keep flowing money into your fiscal, then you lose fiscal prudence. You're no longer fiscal prudent. You're not practicing fiscal discipline. So we would have founded the book program and very far looking, created a program that encouraged that we would maintain fiscal prudence, pay our bills on time, run primary surpluses, and pay our debt so we don't pass on to
You ain't answering the question. You're giving me spin.
You got to give me a chance to get the point there.
You want me to put some context? I have to summarize my mind. You're going so far from the question. It's unbelievable.